we go. Good evening, everybody. How are we doing? Well, as we know, my parents are off enjoying themselves in Aruba. On the week it decides to be cold. Go figure. But as we know that they are thinking about us and praying about us, and they're probably watching tonight. So we're going to have a great, incredible, powerful service tonight. Jared's going to be bringing a message that's needed and timely. So we're going to go ahead and pray and get started. Father God, I just thank you for the service tonight, Lord. I thank you that your presence is being ushered in, Lord God, even as we speak, that you're working among us, Lord God, and that the service will go according to the way that you see it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Stand your feet with us tonight.
Hold your faith on me.
place an altar. Make this place an altar. Sing, my soul will sing. My soul will make this place an altar. Make this place an altar. Oh God, we make this place an altar.
Surrendering all.
I just wanna see
Presence. We
Good. All right. Amen. Well, as we get ready to step into the message tonight, I got some announcements that they left me. So, we had a teen night this past Sunday, which was great. We had fun. I got to mess with them a little bit, but you know, it's all part of the experience. But the next one will be, I think, the 16th of February. So it'll be the day after the EXO Marriage Conference. So after, if you have teenagers and you go to the EXO Marriage Conference, then that Sunday you can ship them to me, and then you get at least an hour, a couple hours to yourselves. Unless you have six kids, and then I'm sorry, I can't help you there. But the EXO Marriage Conference is February 14th and 15th. The 14th, there will be a dinner at 6:30, and that is Valentine's Day. So to all the husbands that are here, if you don't want to spend money on dinner, you just bring her here. Then it's taken care of. You ain't got to pay for it. It's free. From what I see, yeah. But there is a sign-up sheet. So if you're coming that night, you have to sign up so that way they know how much food to make. But I don't know what's coming in. So if it's my dad, you know, he's probably going to pick well more than enough food. So just come hungry. And then the 15th, it'll be 10 a.m. Is when it'll start. That's all that's there for that one. So just show up in the morning. I think they'll probably have donuts or something here for you to eat and snack on while it's going on. But that's all the announcements they gave me. So, and fellas, since the EXO Marriage Conference is on the third Saturday, I'm not sure if we're having the men's breakfast this next month either. So we're going to have to wait a little bit longer, but that's all right. So as we let the kids go down, I'm going to get out of the way, and I'm going to get to enjoy hearing the message that Jared has. Yes, children, you can go. There we go. All right.
All right. Thank you, Philip. Good evening, everybody. How's everybody doing tonight? Let's give God a big hand clap of praise real quick. All of us that are here, amen. God is worthy of our praise. He is good all the time. And so with that, we're going to get ready to give to God. Now, I don't come, with some deep, new, fresh revelation. We're just going to go to God's Word and be reminded tonight and be encouraged of why we give. So if you guys can turn in the Word with me to Malachi chapter 3, verse number 8. And you may be thinking, I've heard this a time or two, which praise God, if you have, that means you've heard right about tithing and offering. So we're just going to do a quick review of that. There you go, if I ever get there. So at the beginning of this year, God was really speaking to me about our children and about establishing sound doctrine that we get fed and we get taught as adults up here that get those into our kids. They're not too young. Okay, and no matter where we're at, we are not too far along to be reminded of the basics, of the foundational reasons of why we do what we do as Christians and as children of God. So I've just really been pressing into our kids, teaching them about tithes, teaching them about offering, and most importantly, of why we do that and why it's important. So Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, it says this, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. It's good to hear from the Word of God. It's good to be reminded. It's good to be refreshed. It's good to be rekindled of those things that which may come routine. Because there's nothing routine about the act of tithing. It is always an act of faith. But I ask kids this question, why do we need to give to God? You know, is God broke? Does God need a cash advance, a payday loan? Is God in need? Does he need to come to his kids and say, hey, can you slip me a 5 or a 20? You know what? No. Obviously, God's not broke. He's in heaven. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He is set. He's good. He doesn't need necessarily anything from us. He doesn't need our money. What God wants is the opportunity to be involved in his children's lives. What he wants is the opportunity to do great things. We just read what God wants to do and what, more than that, what God will do. What he's promised us in his word that he will bring to pass if we join with him in the act of tithing and the act of giving and trusting him as our Heavenly Father. See, we all put ourselves in a position where we don't allow greed or selfishness or our flesh nature to overtake us. We don't allow the world system to overtake us when we give our tithes, when we honor God with our offering, and we use our faith to put him first. See, it's a great business plan. God has 100%. He gives us 100%. He lets us keep 90%, and we give 10%, and then whatever else we choose over and above that is offering. Now, if you were entering into a business deal, that would be a great deal. You would say that you won, because when you give that 10% back to God, God does all those extra added benefits on top of that. So we always come out victorious. We always come out on the benefiting side of things whenever we trust God and we enter into this covenant relationship with God. It's always all about relationship. God's not necessarily interested in the amount. Obviously, if it's a tithe, we have, you know, it needs to be 10%. But God's always interested in our hearts. He wants our hearts to be his and our trust to be in him. And he wants to do great things in our life. So when we do that, let's just be reminded tonight as we give our tithes and our offering what God will do for us and what type of covenant relationship we're entering into with our Heavenly Father. And it's worship to him. So let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes and we're going to take up offering. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, for the opportunity we have to give. Tithe and offering, God. We can bring it into your house, to bless your house, to be used for your kingdom, God. But more importantly than that, we get the opportunity to enter into a deeper relationship with you. We get to trust you. We get to see you do great things on our behalf, God. Meet our needs, bring blessings into our lives that are over and above, beyond what we can even contain, God. Because you are good and you are faithful. So, God, we give you our hearts first and foremost, God. And then in obedience and in love, we give you our tithe and we give you our offering. And we thank you for that, God. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can bring your tithe and offering to the front.
Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else.
Again, for everybody that's here, I'm thankful that not everybody's leaving to count offering. There's a few of us left. So thanks everybody for being here tonight. You guys are awesome. I love each and every one of you. It's great to have the opportunity, yes, to speak the word of God, to give to you what he's given to me, you know, for our church, for our house in this moment. So again, thanks for coming out in the middle of the week. Thanks for using your faith. And I just want to thank God, most importantly right now, for our pastors. We are blessed, guys. We have great pastors who love us, who serve us, who teach us, and it's an awesome opportunity that we get to still serve. We get to be faithful to the house whenever they're gone. We're trained well. We're well-loved. So I just want to give them honor. I just want to thank them for the opportunity to be here, to be bring you to the Word tonight. And let's keep them in prayer because they're on a much-needed, much-deserved vacation. All right? You know, I'm sure it's 80, you know, white sandy beaches in a nice pool in Aruba and eating good, relaxing. I'm being told to stop. I'm like pouring it on. But hey, you know what? Thank God that our pastors get an opportunity to go every winter time and get out of the weather for a little bit and enjoy themselves. Because when they come back, we got some great things ahead of us this year. You know, we got a building that we're going to be completing and moving into. We got the accomplishment of some visions and some new things that we get to strive towards. So I just have my heart to pray for them right now. So if you guys would bow your heads and we're just going to pray for our pastors. So, Father, we thank you for Pastor Phil, Pastor Regina. We thank you, God, for placing them in our lives and giving us, each one of us, them and God, giving us, God, them as our pastors. Lord, I just pray that you protect them, watch over them, bless their time, God, strengthen their marriage, strengthen their relationship with you, refresh them, God, give them rest, God, lead them beside still waters, Lord. Lord God, as you say in your word, God, and that they would just lay down and that they would rest in you. God, that they would be refreshed, filled, renewed, God, strengthened, empowered, God, and equipped, God, to lead us well, God, upon their return, God. I thank you for safety. Thank you for favor. God, I thank you for joy, God, for laughter, God, for just great memories. We thank you for that and just ask for your blessing to be upon them, your hand of protection. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So tonight, you guys are stuck with me, but God has given me a word to share. So the start of this new year, 2020, Happy New Year, by the way, in case you are still riding 2019, it is 2020. I know in my job I'm entering things into the computer that I have to make sure I put in 2019, or otherwise it's going to be a year before somebody gets a check and they're not going to be happy, and so I'm very cognizant still of our new year. And sure, I'm sure you guys have seen the things going around about 2020, you know, like 2020 vision. You know, you can make something out of each year. At the beginning of this year, my lovely wife challenged our whole family, our boys and all, to get a word, you know, that we can set before ourselves for this year that, you know, God will speak to our hearts and that we can really strive towards. So I took that challenge and the word that God gave me was the word align. Because, you know, I really want to strive to align every part of my life, every part of my mind, every part of my heart with God, with his word, and with his will. So as I begin to pray and seek him, okay, God, what do you have for me to share this coming Thursday? He wanted me to share that with you guys. As, you know, a word to our church for us to align with God. So that is the title of my message. So after I did a little research, and the word align means to put something into correct or appropriate relative positions or to come together in agreement and alliance. So when I put the word align to the old Google machine and see what would come up, the very first thing that came up was several mechanics shops. All the places that offered vehicle alignment, right? And so we all drive in here. So I'm like, God, I need an object lesson. I need like an example that I can kind of maybe drive this home. And every one of us here drives, right? We're all licensed drivers. Okay, everybody except for Alicia. She drives illegally. But we're all licensed drivers, right? We all have vehicles that we drive. Now, how many in here, and it's okay to raise your hands, you know, they are loose and working, right? You can participate. Have ever had to have your vehicle aligned, taken to the shop and aligned, okay? How many know that that's not cheap? That usually costs a few dollars, right? And so I've had to have it done. Now, what was happening that allowed you to see or feel or experience that your vehicle was out of alignment? that's the general thing. Okay, I have a steering wheel right here. Everybody can see this, right? Okay, this is what we can use to drive for Mario Kart. Okay, this is what the kids use down there, what I own them in. I don't actually get to play all that often, but a steering wheel. So you're driving along in your automobile. So say if you got a pickup truck, and a great test to know is if you let go of the steering wheel, and all of a sudden, it'll just pull quickly to one side or the other. That's how you can tell. One of the ways you can tell that is out of alignment, right? Because if you should be able to let go of your steering wheel, and it should be able to at least hold steady, hold straight for, you know, obviously not forever, because then it would be like a self-driving car. That would be kind of cool. But you'd have to be able to let go, and it should be able to go down the road for a little while, not pull to the right or to the left. You know it's out of alignment, and if all of a sudden it takes you one way or the other, that it's not supposed to go. You know, and I was trying that in my van on the way here. I think I need an alignment, because as soon as I let go, all of a sudden I was visiting the passing lane real quick, fast, and in a hurry. Thankfully, I checked my mirrors. I didn't almost hit anybody or anything like that, but still. So is there any other way besides it having a pole that you can tell that your vehicle needs aligned? It wears your tires. And then that affects how it rides, right? Then it might get loud. Then it might like kind of be rough. We can feel it. We can experience it whenever we're getting out of alignment in our vehicles, right? And then we have to go to a specialist, somebody who has the right equipment, the right training, to know how to put that thing in, back into alignment. And then it drives much better. It's safer. Your tires wear better. Everything's better whenever it's in alignment, right? So, now, what's funny about this is it reminds me of driving positions. So, we got the one-handed driving positions. We have the proper way of doing it, right? Like 6 and 9. Huh? This is proper? Huh? 2 and 10? No, well, this is the white knuckle, right? Do we have any white knuckle drivers in here? Karen, she's a white knuckle driver. I think Logan's a secret white knuckle driver. No, actually, Logan's got the Detroit lean going on. He's got the seat lean back, and he's okay. But, you know, it affects how you drive sometimes. I know, like, whenever I have a vehicle that's seriously out of alignment, I got to put an extra wheel, a hand on the wheel sometimes, because it could, if it's really bad, it can kind of wear your hand out a little bit, make it like, hey, I got to hold on with two wheels. But, so you guys get the point with that. Now, this gives new meaning to Jesus Take the Wheel. Have you ever heard that song, Jesus, you need to take my wheel and get me into alignment? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So, the great thing about a new year is it reminds us we can hit the reset button. We can go, we can get tune up. We can refresh ourselves. We can take a look in the mirror and we can see, do I need to be realigned in certain areas in my walk with God? Now, I would say that it's, if so, we got to make an appointment with God. We got to make it intentional. That was actually Linda's word, intentional. She wants to be more intentional about it, everything. So that also challenges me because that means that I should probably be that too. But now, let's take a look at, in the Bible. A guy that we can all probably relate to is Kenton Folk, the Apostle Peter. So Peter, when he was called, was a fisherman. Peter had a strong personality. He was the one that in the room, everybody was thinking the same thing, Peter would say it out loud. Peter sometimes, a lot of the times, early on, got himself into a lot of trouble because whatever was on his mind would just kind of come right on out his mouth. And one second, he could be in alignment with what Jesus was doing and where he was at and where he needed to be. And a quick hot minute later, he's completely off, going in the direction he shouldn't be going. and he's getting himself into trouble. Okay, so now I know some of us may, in our days before Christ, before we got more in line with God, may have been on the rough side of things. You know, maybe we've been sanctified. Maybe we've been brought a little further into alignment with God, but maybe there's a little bit more to go. So let's discuss Peter. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And I'm just going to go through a few things where Peter was in alignment and then where Peter got himself out of alignment. And I think that these are different times, different ways where we can see that we can experience these things today in our own life. It can be depending on our day. We've all had good days, right? We feel like we've done good. We've walked with God. We've stayed in the spirit and not gotten into the flesh. We've stayed out of road rage. We're not over here with a road rage grip, you know, trying to chase somebody down. Okay? We've said, bless them, Jesus, instead of calling them any other creative adjective that's still godly, but maybe not as uplifting. Okay? At work, when we're dealing with people, there are days when, man, we do okay. And there are other days where it seems like they challenge our last nerve all the time. All right? And so we've all experienced the same type of things that Peter has. One minute we're right there, man. We're smack dab in alignment. We're in the middle. We're hands free. It's going straight down the road. And the next second, man, we're grabbing that thing and trying to keep it from swerving all over the place. So this is in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 through 20. This is obviously where Peter first comes into alignment with Jesus. Jesus first calls him. It says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him." I mean, that's awesome, right? I mean, in a successful fishing business, got success going on, things are going good in life, Jesus comes along, calls him into the ministry, "I'm going to make you fishers of men," immediately leaves, takes a great step of faith, and follows him. When we get saved, we're like, we're all in, Jesus. He calls us, we repent of our sins, we feel his love, his presence, we come home to our relationship with God, and we're right in alignment where we're supposed to be. Now, and then we might have times like this. I'm not going to read every single one of these for the sake of time, but Matthew chapter 14, 22 through 32. That's the story of when Peter and the disciples are in the boat. Jesus comes walking out on the water. They're freaked out. They think they see a ghost. And then they call out to him. And he's like, "No, it's me, it's Jesus." So again, Peter, the bold one, sometimes the brash one, "Fine, Lord, if it's you, then call me out in the water with you. Let me walk out there to you." Jesus, "Come on, come on out here." And Peter gets out, takes a step of faith, and starts walking on the water. He's in alignment. Next second, he gets his eyes off Jesus, and he gets his eyes on circumstances, gets his eyes on the waves, gets his eyes on the fact that I'm actually out here on the sea, and I'm actually walking on water. How can this really actually be happening? And he starts to sink. He gets out of alignment in that moment, obviously because he's sinking. Then the next thing he does is something we all need to be encouraged to remember when we're going throughout our days. We start off good. Things are going great. Feel like we're being bold, stepping out, taking faith, you know, just taking our day by storm, walking in faith. All of a sudden, some things happen. We get our eyes off Jesus for a moment, and we feel like we're starting to sink. Well, Peter calls right back out to Jesus, "Lord, save me, help me, rescue me, I'm sinking here." And what does Jesus do? Does he stand there? "That's your fault, Peter. Look what you got yourself into. Hopefully you can swim. Hopefully you took swimming lessons while you were learning how to fish. Oh, hey, guys, you got a preserver on the boat here? Like, throw him out a life preserver." No. Jesus, still standing on the water, reaches down, picks him up, brings him up out, and they go back to the boat together. Sometimes we think, man, we get ourselves into something. We got to try to figure out how to get back out of it. We don't. We have to reach out to Jesus. Say, "God, I got myself in a mess. I took my eyes off you for a second. I got out of alignment. My thinking was off. My motivation was off. God, forgive me. I'm reaching back out to you. Help me get back up out of this. And just like he did Peter, when Peter was in and then out and then got back in again, Jesus will be right there waiting lovingly, patiently to help you back up out of it. And you know what? That's so hard for, I know I'm challenged with that. You know, one of the biggest things for me to overcome is that when I felt like I got started in my day and then something happened, I felt like I blew it, the rest of the day shot. I'm like a, you know, heathen for the rest of the day. You can just forget it. You know, it's a mess. I'm just going to try to go to sleep and try again tomorrow. That's not what our Heavenly Father wants. That's not what being aligned with God is. If we get off, get right back on. Reach out. God's grace is sufficient. His power is perfect for our weakness, and he is in, loves nothing more than to reach down, pick his children back up. Just imagine you as a parent, okay? If one of your kids had a bad moment, okay? If Noah, when he got home from school, threw a fit, which I know would never happen, but got upset, didn't want to listen, threw a fit, would you just, like, toss him to the curb for the rest of the night and say, you're done? Okay, maybe I shouldn't ask you, Steve. I'll ask you, Alicia. No, I'm just kidding. But no, you know, you would have that moment. You'd deal with it. You pick him back up, discipline as needed, and you move on. And then hopefully within the next half hour to an hour, by the time supper comes around, you're sitting together as a family. Everything's good, right? Sometimes we think we got to put ourselves in a corner and punish ourselves when God's just saying, come on, come back to me. Let's go. Let's get back into alignment, and let's get back after him. Okay? So, now, this is one where I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Because this is like one extreme to the other. But this is classic Peter. Okay? And some of us can definitely relate to this. Some people can stay kind of even-keeled, kind of keeping it somewhat down the middle of the road, a little off to the left, a little off to the right. Some of us are like, whoo, clear over to one side, and then clear over the other side. We can be extreme. We can be black and white, hardcore. It's either all the way over here or all the way over there. Okay, and this is kind of an example where Peter was kind of like that. So, in Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 through 18, Peter gets a great revelation. It says this, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let me back up to 15. He said, and he said to them, this is Jesus speaking, but who do you say that I am? Now Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I mean, my goodness. This is when the new covenant is soon to be established, right? This is when Jesus is going to be dying on the cross soon, being buried, and then being raised to life again. The new covenant, the New Testament church is about to be established, and he just told Peter, God revealed this to you, who I am, and now I'm going to build my church upon you. You're the rock. You're the cornerstone. If you've ever built anything, keeping something square in alignment, you've got to have a starting point to start from, right? Your foundation is key for it to be everything to be aligned. So Peter has just been nominated to be the man, to be the rock, the original rock. Forget Dwayne Johnson. This is the rock that Jesus is going to build his church upon, right? What a great calling. Everything, he's completely in it, right in alignment, cruising down the road, just right where he needs to be. And then all of a sudden, Peter gets wild hair about five, just a few minutes later, and instead of having Jesus take the wheel, he grabs the wheel back and jerks this thing in a crazy direction, because he gets out of it real quick on down to 22 and 23 when Jesus is beginning to predict his death and his resurrection. And again, Jesus is always thinking the way that God is thinking. He's always spiritually minded, heavenly minded, and he's not earthly or fleshly minded. And so sometimes the the disciples still struggle with grasping that. They're still thinking that Jesus is going to come and set up an earthly kingdom and deliver them from Roman oppression and be an earthly ruler and give them victory that way, when Jesus has much higher, much greater aspirations. And so Jesus begins to talk about him going to die on the cross. And so Peter's like, this doesn't fit with the plan. This is not on the agenda that you're going to just die. That can't be happening. So he, after Jesus begins to predict his death in verse 22, then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. After he just became the rock that Jesus is going to build his church upon, Peter gets a little maybe full of himself, a little like, come here, Jesus, like, I got to straighten you out real quick. You're seeming to be a little off point here. Well, this is how that goes. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. Wow. One moment, completely in, cruising along. I'm going to be the rock that Jesus builds his church on. To clear off the road, crashing and burning. To get behind me, Satan. Because he goes and tries to rebuke Jesus and tries to take him out of what his true calling actually is. Okay, now, sometimes we may experience those kind of extremes where we're, man, we're on a high, we're doing great, we're doing God, what God wants us to do, and then some things happen, and all of a sudden we find ourselves clear out of the, off the highway, clear out into the ditch, and Jesus is having to come and correct us. Now, when he does that, it's only out of love, because the Bible says that God disciplines those whom he loves. Okay, and if you are going to be a son or a daughter of God, you're going to expect to get a little tune-up here or there because God loves you too much to not do that. Just like we love our own kids or grandkids too much to leave them in their immaturity and leave them into a and leave them in a state where they're going to hurt themselves or they're going to be not prepared to deal with everything else in life. God will not just leave us. He will discipline us. He will straighten us up just like he had to just straighten Peter up. Now, he was out there. A few other instances, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. And he asked, you know, he has his disciples and he brings a small crew along with him farther in. Peter is one of them. Guys, you know, I'm dealing with this great weight. Can you pray? Comes back. Peter snoring away, snoozing, falling asleep on Jesus. And so he keeps, hey, wake up, come on, can't you at least tarry with me for 1 hour? And unfortunately, every time Jesus goes to pray, comes back, there's Peter, sawing logs, snoring away. Man, he missed an opportunity to be there and to be praying for Jesus. So you could say that he was kind of out there. And then he's even further out because as soon as they come to get Jesus, of course, he's allowing them to, right? Because it's his time. It's his time to begin the trial and begin the process of the crucifixion. Peter gets all gung-ho and sees this big group of people coming, and he whips out his sword and chops off a guy's ear. And Jesus has got to stop him, put him back in his place again, pick up the ear, heal the ear, and say, okay, we're not doing this. Okay, now, again, did Jesus, like, send him away? Did he say, like, just leave me, you're a disgrace to me, I'm done with you? I mean, how many times have you been out of alignment since I said I was going to build my church upon you? There were several times that Jesus had to adjust, Jesus had to correct, Jesus had to realign him, but he never cast him away, right? And that should be encouraging to us, you know, that Peter was bold and was brash and was seemingly as strong as what some of those rebukes were, he never was told, you know what, Jesus didn't give up on him. He doesn't give up on us, okay? He continues to strive with us, to love us, to lead us, to draw us closer to him. Now, just a few more here on Peter. The big one in Matthew 26, 33 and 35, and also in Luke 22, 54 through 62, is the story when Jesus tells Peter, I'm sorry, but here soon you're going to deny me three times. Okay? Now, if we turn over to Luke 54, chapter 22, verse 54. When Jesus is trying to tell Peter what's going to happen, Jesus is trying to give Peter a heads up, and Peter is not believing him. He's not having it. He's not accepting that. And he makes some pretty bold statements about what would happen. And he says this, that must have been back here in Matthew. Basically, he says, though, you know, no matter what happens, I'm not leaving you. I'm not forsaking you. I will not deny you. Though the whole world say, you know, leave you, deny you, I'm not doing that. But what happens was is that everything happened, just as Jesus said that it would. And it said, we can go down all the way down to 61 and 62, because Peter is following along at a distance. Somebody spots him. Hey, aren't you one of those disciples? Weren't you with Jesus? And he denies it. And then it happens again, and he denies it again. And then he gets so emphatic that he even swears as he's in the process of denying it. So he's using filthy language. He's denying Jesus. He's full on out, just out of alignment. Completely, actually, where Jesus said that he would be, but where he said that he would never go. And sometimes we might find ourselves in a situation like that. But thank God that there's hope. In 61 and 62, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out, and he wept bitterly. And that's about as far out of alignment as where we can get, where we're denying Jesus, where we're denying him access to places in our hearts, to places in our minds, to places in our lives. Whether it be finances, whether it be our job, whether it be relationships, you know, are there areas where we are out of alignment with God? We may be slightly out, a little bit out, and maybe we have flat out denied him in certain spots. But that's about as far out as what he gets. The good thing is turn over to the book of John. Because, again, there's always hope with Jesus. Jesus is in the business of redeeming, of restoring, and he is like the best master mechanic you've ever been around. He can put you back into alignment in a moment's notice. It takes us reaching out by faith and with sincerity in our heart. And I know this is one of Pastor Phil's favorite stories because it talks about breakfast by the sea. But just 21, 15 through 17. Jesus restores Peter. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lamb. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. In verse 17, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And by this time, Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And then he goes on to tell him about, hey, when you were younger, you got to do what you wanted to do. But now you're going to be led and you're going to be doing things that you don't necessarily want to do. And Peter got into alignment with God once again. God restored him. God redeemed him. And no matter what area it is, no matter how small or how big it may seem, Jesus is ready and he is willing and he is able to put us back into alignment in every area that we need to be. Our thinking, relationships, even if we feel like we're not doing great in our marriage, Jesus has got the answer. He knows how to redeem you. He knows how to put you back into alignment.
It's in His Word. It's in prayer. It's in fasting. It's in seeking God and getting before Him. Now, in Acts chapter 2, verse 37 through 41, we see Peter being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit after Jesus, obviously He's already resurrected, He's ascended into heaven, and the Holy Spirit has come and filled them. And Peter preaches a great message. He preaches the word. He's in alignment. And 3,000 people get saved. That's a lot of people to get saved at one time. And you know, from there on out, we see 1 Peter, 2 Peter, throughout the rest of his days. We see Peter mature. We see him grow. We see him be in alignment with God. And that is an example. That is not beyond us, just because he was a disciple, just because we are all rocks that Jesus is building his church upon. Because we are the church. It's not that physical building that's beautiful and that's nice and that's coming along out there on 292. It is each one of us. Each one of us has a responsibility in our relationship with God to be in alignment with Him, with the Holy Spirit, with how He is leading us, how He is challenging us, convicting us in our everyday walk with Him. So, Peter ends his time on earth completely aligned with God. Okay, now, we'll look to our ultimate example. I got one more passage of Scripture that I want to share, then we'll work on closing. John chapter 5, verse 18. Obviously, in all things, Jesus is our ultimate example. And he says something that's very profound, very challenging, but we should all strive to do this because he is our ultimate example. So John 5, 18 through 20 says this. It says, therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does and will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. So what Jesus is in line with the Father. He has aligned himself perfectly with the Father. So if Jesus on earth, being fully God and fully man, aligned himself perfectly with God, then that's exactly what we should strive for. So nothing that Jesus did was outside of what God would do, how he would think. Okay, Jesus was in line with the Father, not a man, or religion. He was in line with the Word. And we must do the same. We must be intentional with our thoughts, our words, our decisions. And a big thing is our view of other people. I know we all have people that challenge us. all have situations like that that can get us out of alignment. Could get us in our flesh, could get us in carnal thinking that can really push us. But you know what? How does the Father see him? Did he create them? Yeah, he did. Did he give them a purpose just like he gave you? Yeah. Okay. Well, that's an area we have to find ourselves striving to be in alignment with God and to care for everyone's soul, to pray for those that challenge us. I don't know if we could, you may consider them an enemy, may not, but if they could be really, really difficult. A situation, a circumstance could be really, really difficult. But how would God view that situation? How would he view that circumstance? With love, with faith, with grace, with patience, with mercy? That's exactly what we should be striving for. Look to Jesus. He is the one who kept himself perfectly in line. And then we can feel like that we can relate to a Peter, you know, where one minute he's right where he needs to be, next minute, man, he's swerving all over the road. But Jesus will always put us right back into alignment, always get us right back to where we need to be. So I just want to encourage each and every one of us. I'm not coming to you guys saying I know that anything that, you know, anybody in here is way off base or anything like that. I'm just, God gave me a word that all of us can look at our own selves, look into the word like a mirror, and it will show us areas that we find ourselves not lined up with where God wants us to be. And it may not be a major thing, it may not be like a really, really bad thing, but how much closer do we want to get in our relationship with God? It's a new year, it's a new opportunity to drive straighter down the road, to keep our hands off the wheel, let Jesus have the wheel, and keep us in alignment with Him. Grow more than we've ever grown. We got a great future ahead of us, guys. And we're going to need to be more in line with God, more in tune to the Holy Spirit, viewing all the other people that we come in contact with the way that He would, through that lens of grace, of mercy. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And that no matter how far we may feel like we've veered off the road, He'll put us right back into alignment. If we ask Him, if we come to Him. Let's bow our heads, let's close our eyes. I'll close this out. Heavenly Father, we come before You in the name of Jesus. God, we thank You for this day. We thank You for this time to gather in Your presence. God, just to hear Your word, God, just to be challenged to align ourselves with You, God. Jesus, we know that whatever You saw the Father do, You did. Whatever You heard the Father say, You said. God, let us consume Your word. Let us partake of it, God, and let us apply it, Lord, so that we can do the same. And we thank You that You are always there, just like You did for Peter, aligning, reaching out, rescuing, adjusting, establishing, restoring, loving, and using greatly, God. God, I thank You, You can use each one of us in a greater way than what You ever have. I pray that each one of us, God, would be used, God, greatly this upcoming year, God, in new ways and new dimensions, that we would stretch out our faith towards You, God, and align ourselves, God, with Your word and with the Holy Spirit, and allow ourselves to be used to spread the gospel, to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, to do great things for the kingdom of God, to love people, God, in ways that we never thought that we could. To forgive, God, in areas, God, that we never thought that we might ever be able to. God, to be healed of emotional or mental or spiritual hurts in our hearts, God. To be healed completely, God. To be free, God, to move on past doubts or fears or insecurities, God. And to press in to faith, God, to unknown waters, to uncharted territories, God, to new levels, God, to the next level of glory, God, to the next level of anointing, God, to the greater divine purpose, Lord. God, we can do that by aligning ourselves with You like we never have before. God, Your word says to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God, let us cast cares upon You, trust You for provision, and seek You first, God, as Your word tells us to do, God. Let us hold nothing back from You, no secret places, no denying You access to anywhere, God. But let us be, God, our hearts just full of open doors to every area, so You can come in, make home, set up shop, and keep us in true alignment with the Father. I thank You for that, God. I pray a blessing upon Your people tonight. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, thank you. God bless you guys.